USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The frigid temperatures in the Midwest are claiming another life. At least seven people have died now as temperatures are dipping to their lowest levels in generations. Thousands of flights have been delayed in Chicago, but looking on the bright side, folks, it is expected to warm up over the weekend. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, a group of Democrats and Republicans got together and discussed border security and border funding. Republican Congressman Chuck Fleischman was part of that group, and he tells Fox News things went rather well.
It was sincere, it was candid, and our friends in the Senate and on both sides were very cordial, so I think we're going to make some progress. Metaphorically, as you say, perhaps it's warming up here in Washington.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the U.S. economy is in a good place and they will be patient with future rate hikes. Wall Street's response, the Dow gained 435 points today. The NASDAQ was up as well, as was the S&P. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
A special committee's begun to work to avert another shutdown. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
There are 17 members from the House and the Senate on the committee that's looking to craft a long-term budget extension to avert another shutdown on February 15th. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn's on the panel.
Nobody wants the government shut down. What we want is for the Democrats to negotiate and come to a resolution on this.
President Trump tweeting on Wednesday morning as the committee was sitting down for its first meeting that they'll be wasting their time if they're not seriously considering money for a wall or physical barrier at the border.
Arizona is looking to be the ninth state to allow sports betting after a Republican state senator introduced a bill that outlines what legal sports betting would look like in Arizona. The bill would allow any federally recognized tribe that has a state gaming compact to operate sports gambling. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
California Democratic Senator Kamala Harris, who is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, veered away from one of President Trump's famous lines, which is, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, when she said on Monday that private health insurance is inhumane and proposed a government-run alternative. Dr. Mark Siegel is a practicing internist and Fox News medical contributor. He explains what Medicare for All really is.
Medicare for All is not expanding Medicare. It's putting a wrecking ball to private insurance and revamping everything and putting a new product in place that the government runs. And I have to firmly disagree with the idea that Senator Kamala Harris is saying there that it means instant access. I can tell you, working with both private and public insurance in my office, with Medicare, with Medicaid, sometimes with private, there's no such thing as access based on public health insurance. The government doesn't provide access. The government is a bureaucracy. I have to appeal, Bill, to the government sometimes, and I get on the phone. A distant bureaucrat is approving or disapproving of some procedure I think a patient needs. That's going to get worse here if we had Medicare for All. So there's a huge bureaucracy that will come along down the pike. You'll get rid of the employer-based healthcare system, which is a job incentive. So it's a job killer. It's giving an entitlement to people who maybe wanted to take a job because it gave them health insurance.
You can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
My hair is turning. I see a little bald spot. My husband doesn't, but I do. But anyway, it's filled in. I think I got a good head of hair now.
As wow.
As a result of taking that, yeah. The volume of it was decreasing, but now it's back to what it was.
It helped me with my sleep, my digestion, everything that I had experienced the first time I took it, I'm experiencing again. I'm pleased. So I'm very happy with it.
I can tell a huge difference. One day I just totally, I don't know, it was a Saturday, I totally forgot to take them, and I was like toast the whole day. And then I realized, oh, I haven't taken my fruits and veggies.
Use discount code Kenyon for 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies with free shipping. This offer is going to end between now and February, so act fast. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Kenyon.
The Kate Daly Show, where telling the truth is now a revolutionary act. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
You is, if you are elected, you would be Massachusetts' first female senator.
I would be.
Would you be Massachusetts' first Native American senator?
I would be their first senator, so far as I know, who has Native American heritage.
I take the threat very seriously. I take the fact that he develops weapons of mass destruction very seriously.
She was testifying before the House Committee on Benghazi. Take a listen.
There was nothing marked classified on my emails, either sent or received.
Wow. All right. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show, final hour of the show on a Wednesday. You can go to katedalyradio.com, three words, katedalyradio.com for the podcast of this episode and all the shows. There's about a good 6,000 hours there you can catch up on. But we welcome you. I welcome you. And, of course, go to the website. You can also check me out on Twitter, Kate on the Blaze, and on Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. So glad to have you and glad to have my guest. This will be a very interesting hour, and I want you to be able to ask questions as well. So we'll open up the phone lines in a bit and take your calls as well. Human nature has always fascinated me, and I've been talking to Mark McClish about this. He wrote the book on lying, and he's got a great website, statementanalysis.com. And Mark McClish was a federal law enforcement officer for 26 years, started his law enforcement career in 1983, U.S. Secret Service Uniform Division. During the 2 years he was with the Secret Service, he was assigned to the White House. His main duties were protecting the White House complex, and on occasion would provide protection for President Reagan. You were with the U.S. Marshals Service, served as a deputy U.S. Marshal in Illinois, there where we are live. And I could go on and on about the long career you've had. And also, you taught Training Academy for 9 years and the lead instructor on interviewing techniques. So you're probably the perfect person to talk to about lying.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me on the show.
Sure. I'm so glad to have you, actually. This is fascinating, and I know a lot of people are fascinated by this because we always want to be able to catch a liar or know when somebody is not being honest with us. What got you into this particular field, or this really piqued your interest to write the books that you've written?
Well, as you mentioned, I was a deputy United States Marshal, so I had my own fugitive cases assigned to me and conducted a lot of interviews, and it was always a challenge to determine if a person's lying or telling the truth. And you know, I did the best I can, and in those days, you know, nonverbal communication, reading somebody's body language was the primary way of detecting deception. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to the training academy, they asked me what I wanted to teach, and in the first year I was there, I said, well, I'll teach, you know, fugitive investigations, but they asked me if I would teach interviewing techniques, and I said I would. Mm-hmm. And in preparation to train our students, they sent me to some classes on linguistic analysis, and as I got into it, I found it to be very fascinating. Oh. To the point I decided to conduct my own, conduct my own research. And for the 9 years I taught the academy, there were several groups of people that I watched, one being our students. We also have role players that we hire to play various roles in the scenarios that the students must complete. So a lot of times we tell the role players, you know, lie to the students. Don't let the students know that your boyfriend, the fugitive, is hiding in your closet. But we wouldn't tell them how to lie. That wasn't scripted out. So I would watch how these role players, and over 9 years, it was, you know, hundreds of them, how they would answer certain questions in their deceptive mode. And I found that they would, you know, lie in the same ways. And people tell the truth in a similar fashion as well. And so I also took that time that I was an instructor there for 9 years to do a lot of research on deceptive language. And then that led to me going out and speaking at conferences and law enforcement training. And then when I retired from the Marshal Service in 2009, I did do this now as a full-time job, going out conducting training to law enforcement, but really to anybody. Most of my seminars are open to anybody who wants to learn how to detect deception and in a verbal or written statement.
Oh, sure. Your books are I Know You Are Lying, Don't Be Deceived. And did it surprise you when you were watching this group? Because that's kind of an interesting angle to go about it, is to watch this group come in and see how they lie. So you told them to lie, but not how to lie. Did it surprise you in the uniformity of the lying? Did that surprise you? Did you not expect that? I wouldn't have expected that.
Well, the biggest surprise that I saw is that people generally will not lie. For example, we had a scenario we told the students, a fugitive escaped from federal prison. We don't know where he's at. You're going to interview his girlfriend. Now, the girlfriend lives by herself. Mm-hmm. He's hiding in her closet. So we've told the girlfriend, the role player, don't let the students know he's in there. So it's a two-person team. They knock on a door. They interview her. And eventually, all the team's around to asking her, is there anybody else in the house? Now, the lie would be no, but very rarely would a role player say that, even though various people played this role. They say something like, I live here by myself. That's a truthful statement. It's not what I asked you, though. And so that's what I found. The biggest thing is that people don't want to lie. They'll give us answers, but they may not answer our specific question. They may, you know, qualify their statement by adding certain words or phrases. And so the approach you really want to take when you're listening to somebody is to believe what they're telling you. Now, we take that with a little grain of salt, but if you take that approach, I'm going to believe what you're telling me, then a lot more things will jump out of that statement, because you'll recognize they are qualifying their statement. You'll recognize exactly, you know, what they're saying, or in some cases not saying, if we're looking for, you know, a good denial. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the biggest takeaways, is that people generally don't want to lie. And they usually won't lie, especially in an open statement where they can say anything that they want.
That's interesting. Actually, that gives me a little hope. Does it you? I mean, really? I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm glad that we're not, you know, born liars. I'm glad that we at least seek to tell the truth. And so when you were, after your study and you were training people how to do this, let's say they had a year at deciphering body language and facial, you know, everybody's has seen the show, I hope by now, about the facial expressions. I can't remember the name of the show.
Lie to me.
I was a big fan. And so after a certain amount of training, how accurate is somebody, do you think?
Very accurate. In fact, I did a study on this of people who took my online training, mm-hmm. on-demand training, and then 50 people who claimed they had no training in linguistic analysis, analyzing statements. And it was close to 90% or 85%, I think, was the time that people who took the training could tell if a person was lying or not. I gave them certain statements to look at and determine. The people who had no training, it was around 50%, because in most cases, you're just guessing. Are they being truthful? Are they being deceptive? And that's what mm-hmm. I expected to see, about a 50% return. Hmm. But it's very, very accurate. But the key is to listen to what people are telling you.
You know what? Okay, so let me play that first clip of Clinton. Tell me what in his words, probably I would imagine at the time, even made you think twice. This is Clinton's words, Bill Clinton.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
So what would you pick out there that you thought, no, that's a tell right there?
Well, everybody has their own personal dictionary is what I call it. Certain words mean certain things to people. And in this case, it all get down to his definition of sexual relations. As we know, what eventually came out is that they had oral sex, but they didn't have intercourse. And so that's why he could, in his mind, truthfully say, we didn't have, or I didn't have sexual relations with her.
Okay. And so was go ahead.
He also used the word never in his denials there. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the word never, but in a denial, it's just usually it's a weaker denial versus I didn't tell somebody to lie versus I never told anybody. And so that I picked up on that as well. You know, again, that's a good statement, but I didn't would be a better statement. But the reality was it got down to his definition of sexual relations.
Okay, here's another one. This is Elizabeth Warren.
You is, if you are elected, you would be Massachusetts' first female senator.
I would be.
Would you be Massachusetts' first Native American senator?
I would be their first senator, so far as I know, who has Native American heritage.
What did you think?
Well, now, the first question she answered, I would be. But the second question, when it has, as far as her Native American heritage, she didn't say I would be. I mean, that's if that's a true statement, that's what she would have said. Instead, she kind of qualified by saying, I think it was with Native American heritage. And that most likely is a truthful statement. I think the DNA test she took recently showed she had some Native American heritage, not as much as she probably wanted to see. But I think a lot of people could make that statement, you know, they have some Native American heritage. But the best answer would have been, just like with the first answer, you know, I would be the first senator with Native American heritage.
Interesting. Okay. And then here's Hillary.
She was testifying before the House Committee on Benghazi. Take a listen.
There was nothing marked classified on my emails, either sent or received.
What did you think about that?
Well, based on that very short statement, you know, she's saying nothing marked classified, which, again, I'm going to believe what she's telling me. But we would ask her, was there anything else that was marked? And I think they had different levels of classifications where they could mark certain documents. So there may not have been a document that was actually marked, quote, classified, but there may have been. I think there were documents that were marked something else that also shouldn't have been shared, but she apparently did share them.
So she's keeping it vague. She's keeping it broad, if you will.
Right, and as an interview, you want to recognize he's using the word classified, so then you start asking, well, were there other documents that were marked, you know, something different?
And so when somebody comes out, they're an accused killer, there are many we could talk about on the, even on this show, that say, I didn't do it. How do you feel when they use those words? I did not do that.
Well, that's a very good denial. When a person says, I didn't do it, they're denying the act itself. And that's what you're looking for in a denial versus I'm innocent, like Jerry Sandusky, the former assistant football coach at Penn State. When he talked about these child molestation charges, he would say, well, I'm innocent. Well, a lot of deceptive people will say that because technically you are innocent until proven guilty in our society. But when people say I'm innocent, they're denying the conclusion that others have, that the general public, the authorities believe you did it, and he's just saying, no, I'm innocent. But when people say I didn't do it, they're denying the act itself. So that's a very good denial. But what you'll find is that many guilty people will not say, I didn't do it. They'll say something like, I'm innocent. Or OJ would constantly say, you know, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But they won't say, I didn't do that. And that is what you're looking for.
Oh, that's a good catch. We'll be right back. More with Mark McLish. You can go to statementanalysis.com. The books are I Know You Are Lying, Don't Be Deceived. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. And maybe he'll take some of your calls as well. I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress, and I'll make you a promise. When you go into any Best Mattress location, you'll be treated to a great, great experience. Our highly trained people really care about helping you. You notice that the minute you walk in, but it doesn't stop with them. The guys who deliver and set up your bed are just as respectful and helpful. I insist on it. You won't get better service anywhere, and you can't find better prices anywhere. Best Mattress, home of the Sleep Easy Guarantee.
in business for over 35 years, the Zion Eye Institute has grown into the largest and most comprehensive eye center in Southern Utah, continually striving to be the best and always looking for new ways to better take care of their patients. With the experience and expertise to cover every area of eye care, their specialists use only the most advanced technologies and state-of-the-art equipment. You can count on each of their specialists being board certified and fellowship trained to handle everything from the simplest to the most complex cases, which means there's no need to travel to Salt Lake City or Las Vegas for specialized eye care. Just one of the many reasons the Zion Eye Institute was named one of the top 50 eye surgery centers in the United States and is the number one eye care provider for Medicare patients in the state of Utah. With four convenient locations, scheduling an appointment in St. George, Cedar City, and Mesquite is easy. Just call 656-2020, 656-2020, or online at zioneye.com. Zion Eye Institute, Southern Utah's premier eye care center.
I'm Russ Imlay with Cache Valley Bank. I started in banking years ago because it offered a good opportunity that would let me stay here and raise a family in Southern Utah. What I didn't fully realize was the good I could do working for a bank. Now I do. Like helping new doctors get the facilities and equipment they require to make it easier to meet the needs of their patients, or finding solutions to help small businesses expand their operations to take on bigger projects or more staff. I love my work as a banker, and I enjoy working for Cache Valley Bank because we have the statewide strength of 17 branches, yet as a community bank, I'm able to give tailored attention to each of my customers. We're not here just to close a deal. We're here for the entire journey. We will be here on hand and on call as your financial outfitter. Is there a venture on your horizon? Let's map it out.
Cache Valley Bank. Mountains await. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Are you in the market for a new or nearly new car? Are you dreading the process of dealing with high-pressure sales? We do things differently here at Newbies. This is Eric Todd with Newbie Buick GMC, and we've listened to our customers. They have told us they want a simple and easy way to buy a car. That's why we created the Newbie Internet Pricing Policy and Sales Process. The price you see online is the price you get here. We post our prices clearly on every car, truck, and SUV for everyone to see, even our competition. Let me introduce to you our salesperson of the month, Todd Johnson.
If you're looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, then come see me, Todd Johnson, at Newbie Buick GMC. My goal is to get you all the information you need to help you make the decision, and I will work hard to make the sales process easy and find the perfect car for you.
Shop online for your next car, SUV, or truck anywhere you are. Go to newbiebuick.com for leasing specials, internet pricing, and daily updates. Experience car buying the Newbie way at newbiebuickgmc.com today.
Have you heard of CBD? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not what you think. It's better. Hi, I'm Dave Shank with BringMeCBD.com. Let me be clear. I'm not involved with marijuana. In fact, at BringMeCBD.com, we're a bunch of Utah guys who have been in the supplement industry for over 20 years. But when we saw firsthand what CBD did for people's health, we went straight out to Colorado and set up a state-of-the-art CBD extraction facility where we make the finest CBD in America. CBD gets confusing because it's the compound that puts the medical in medical marijuana that everyone wants. But CBD also comes from other plants besides marijuana. At BringMeCBD.com, all of the CBD we manufacture comes from marijuana's sister plant known as hemp. Now that CBD is legal in Utah, the only problem is how expensive it is. At BringMeCBD.com, we think everyone should be able to afford CBD. And when you buy from us, there are no middlemen. We are the manufacturer saving you money. Our CBD ships out fast and usually arrives at your door within a day or two. Go to BringMeCBD.com and get yours today.
Southern Utah is such an amazing place to live and visit. Our area is full of beautiful scenery, fun things to do, great food, and excellent local businesses. We want to help everyone discover the very best places in Southern Utah for entertainment, food, beverages, health and wellness, shopping, outdoor adventure, automotive, fitness, and more, as voted by you, the community. Now is the time to nominate your favorite businesses to be the best in Southern Utah. Nominate right now at bestofsouthernutah.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi, Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. I know, having some fun with the bumpers for sure today. It's an interesting, fascinating subject, is the art of knowing if somebody's lying or not. And I'm sure this will give you a lot of fodder for watching the newscasts and the politicians and the speeches and the comments. You'll probably have a lot of fun with this after being trained by my guest, Mark McClish. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Mark has had a long, long career, U.S. Marshal and federal law enforcement officer, 26 years in, and a long career in teaching this very technique about how to interrogate and how to find those statements that would make sure that you know somebody's lying. And I say that because I think the art of this is the accuracy. I mean, there's pretty good accuracy once you understand body language and the use of sentence structure with a liar. Would you say that's fair to say? It gives you a more accuracy?
Yes, definitely, if you combine the two. But the statement analysis alone is very accurate because we don't interpret what a person's saying. People mean exactly what they say. So we're not putting words in their mouth, and okay, we're just carefully listening to how they phrase their statement. But you definitely want to use it in conjunction with body language as well.
Oh, yeah. In fact, let's talk about that. And before we get there, I just wanted to say, Elizabeth Warren, when she was talking about her native heritage, her voice went up in a question mark. Is that something that alarm bells go off for you? When the pitch of their voice changes in the answer?
Yeah, definitely. If the, you know, most people when talking, well, you speak at the same level unless they're emphasizing a certain point. Mm-hmm. But when answering a question, especially if they're being put on the spot or it's suspected they did something, then we're definitely want to key in if their voice, and a lot of times it may go higher, mm-hmm, or even if it goes lower, but a lot of times it's the higher pitch indicates that perhaps you know, they're under some stress, and that's what's causing them to change the pitch of their voice a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And what about body language? What do you look for when you're asking somebody some questions? What do you look for?
One of the main things to look for is what are they doing with their hands? Mm-hmm. You know, a little kid tells a lie, he may cup his hand over his mouth because he knows he wasn't supposed to say that. Well, as adults, we know not to do that, but it's almost instinctual. We want to bring the hand up to the face. So when people touch their chin, touch their lips, maybe their nose, that's a telltale sign that perhaps what they just said may not be the truth or the complete truth. Maybe they're withholding some information. And so what are they doing with their hands? The eyes, we can look at the eyes. Obviously, their pupils are constricted, or mm-hmm, versus if they're very dilated, maybe indicate they're under some stress. It's been somewhat established that if a person looks up and to the right, they're accessing the creative part of their brain, perhaps mm-hmm, making up the story. If they look up and to the left, they're being truthful. However, that's only if a person's right-handed. If they're left-handed, it's just the opposite. So, you know, with body language, you have to establish a baseline. Are they left-handed? Are they right-handed? What's their normal body movements? And then you look for the abnormal movements. Okay. Whereas with the statement analysis techniques, we don't have to establish any baseline because people mean exactly what they say.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Are there a set of unique words that they're more prone to use if they're wanting to issue a lie?
They are. One of the words that deceptive people often will use is the word never. Now, mm-hmm, and they'll use it as a substitute for the word no. In other words, did you have a gun when you went to his house? I never had a gun. And because the word never is a negative word, it often fools the interviewer into believing the person has given a good denial. But it's a very poor denial because the word never means not ever, but it doesn't mean no. So if the question requires a yes or no answer or a no answer for a denial, that's what the person should say. So if they say, you know, I never had a gun, mm-hmm, well, that's an indication perhaps they did have a gun. And in that example, the person finally admitted they did bring a gun to the house. And the reason it indicates deception is because the word never means not ever. So they're talking about their entire lifetime.
Oh, I see.
And in most cases, that's not I'm not asking about your entire lifetime. I'm asking you on Thursday, did you do this or did you take the money out of the mm-hmm safe or something like that? So that's why it indicates deception. Okay. And that shows up a lot in a lot of deceptive statements. I mean, when Bill Clinton was on the campaign trail, he was asked, have you ever used illegal drugs? And he answered, I've never broken the laws of my country.
Wow.
Now, the best answer is no, if you're going
right
to deny it.
Right.
But he used the word never in lieu of the word no, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then we look at his language, I've never broken the laws of my country. Well, finally, a reporter asked him, have you ever broken the laws of another country? Mm-hmm. And that's when he admitted that while he was in England attending Oxford, he didn't inhale whatever it was, but he did experiment with marijuana in another country.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
That's why he was called Slick Willie.
Yeah, it's a fascinating way to put it. And what about answering a question with a question?
Well, that happens a lot, too, with deceptive people. And when people answer a question with a question, it means you ask a sensitive question. Mm-hmm. So first you have to realize what they just did. Then you have to try to determine it in an interview setting. Why is this question so sensitive? And it may be because you're hitting on a hot spot and they're hoping you don't continue to ask, you know, more questions about that.
Right.
But that's the biggest takeaway there. Now, sometimes it's a stall tactic to give them time to think about, well, how should I answer this question?
Mm, okay.
And so, so a lot of times what they'll do is they'll repeat the question, but they won't for the interviewer to say, confirm, yeah, that's what I'm asking. They'll just simply repeat the question as a stall tactic, and then they'll go ahead and give you an answer. And again, the answer might be truthful. It might be deceptive, but it might be truthful. But again, it indicates that perhaps they've got more information that they're withholding and hoping you're not going to ask about.
Mm. We're talking to Mark McKish. He wrote the books, really good books. Actually, you should get them. I Know You Are Lying and Don't Be Deceived. The website is statementanalysis.com. And I was looking through this. You actually go through some pretty famous cases. One of the latest famous cases that you have on here would be Judge Brett Kavanaugh against Christine Ford's statements about what happened to her, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. What was your take on what was being said by Christine Ford?
Well, there are two things I saw. I mean, the biggest one was her lack of memory. Now, we can't blame her too much because, like you mentioned, it was like 30, 40 years ago that she's trying to recall what happened. So we don't expect to remember every detail. But as you may recall, she said she was at a party. She went up the stairs to use the bathroom, and I think it was Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh were at the top of the stairs. They pushed her into a bedroom, shut the door. Brett Kavanaugh jumped on top of her. And then later, she said Mark or Judge would also jump on top of them. And in her opening statement before Congress, before those hearings, she said, Mark came over and jumped on the bed twice while Brett was on top of me. Then the last time he did this, we toppled over and Brett was no longer on top of me. Mm-hmm. Well, she used the pronoun we. Now, it makes sense for her to use the pronoun we because we is a plural pronoun. There were three of them in the room. But what people don't realize is that the pronoun we always indicates a partnership. It means that two people collaborated together, at least two people, in this case three, and did something together. And a real victim, like in a sexual assault case, in a kidnapping case, will not use the pronoun we because they're not going to partner up with their attacker or abductor.
Right.
So most victims would have probably said, then the last time he did this, the pile toppled over. In that case, there's no partnership. But she said we, and she did it one other time in one of her statements as well, used the pronoun we. And so that was a big red flag there because most victims will not partner up with their
It does sound attacker. A little strange because we went into the house and he raped me. Sounds like you're consenting to going into the house. And then what somebody would say, you said, would he forced me into the house and raped me. So
he forced. Right. And I've seen statements like that where I'm truthful. He forced me into the house. He dragged me. But then I've seen some where, you know, we went behind the barn or something like that. Well, wait, that means you did it. You know, you cooperate with him. That's what it indicates. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big red flag. Now, he had problems as well. Judge Kavanaugh did. Several senators asked him if he would want the FBI to come and investigate this, to clear up this matter. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple question. Yes, let him come in or no. But he would not answer that specific question. Hmm. He would say, I'll do whatever the committee wants. Well, that's not what I'm asking you. And, of course, the committee can't call the FBI. Only the president could do that.
Right.
And I believe the reason he wouldn't answer is because he did not want the FBI to investigate it. Not so much because I don't think he sexually assaulted her, but I think because they would start asking about perhaps his drinking.
Yeah.
And he was somewhat, you know, he pretty much admitted he was somewhat of a heavy drinker back in his high school days. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he would stop short of not saying, yes, let's bring the FBI in. In fact, it got to the point where some senators said, well, I'll take that as a no, or you're not answering my question, because they only have a few minutes to ask him questions, so they got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll notice, when President Trump finally authorized the investigation, he limited it to the sexual assault.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So if a person came forward and said, hey, I remember Brett Kavanaugh blacking out, the FBI would say, well, we're not interested in that. That's not what we're here for.
Okay. That's interesting. What about somebody that says, I'm telling the truth? Do you believe them?
I'll believe them, and that's a very good statement, and mm-hmm. their whole statement has to back that up, of course. But yeah, that's a good statement if a person says, I'm telling the truth. Now, if they start adding to that, you know, I swear to God I'm telling the truth, mm-hmm. or honest to God, then those are words that indicate, you know, perhaps they are being untruthful when people say, I swear my mother's grave or something like that.
Oh, that's just interesting.
It's an indication. It's not an absolute, but it's something mm-hmm. you want to take a closer look at and ask a few more questions about.
Yeah. What about the Casey Anthony case? Her 2-year-old daughter, she was being accused of murdering, and she got off on that one. What did you think from the beginning on that one?
From the beginning, I mm-hmm. thought she did it, or she had something to do with it. And then as she started talking to the press, you know, giving statements, and it became even more clear, you know, to me that, yeah, she was involved in her daughter's disappearance and death. Mm-hmm. You may recall, I think her parents said when they located her car, or the car was at the house, and it had in the trunk, it had this smell of death, like a body
yes.
was in there.
Yeah.
And they even brought out a cadaver dog that, who I believe hit on the trunk as well. Well, she supposedly, her brother said that Casey told her that some dead squirrels crawled up into her trunk there. But notice what she said. She said some dead squirrels crawled up into her car. Well, dead squirrels aren't capable of doing that.
Yeah, you're right.
She should have said some squirrels crawled up into my car, but she said dead squirrels. So, you know, that creates a problem there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, one more before we go to a break. Did Mike Pompeo believe the Saudi crown prince when he ordered the murder of... Did he believe that he ordered the murder of the reporter, Khashoggi?
Did he believe that he ordered the uh-huh. murder? I think, yes, I think he knew that he... That was his opinion, that this Saudi prince did order the murder. Yes, I believe that.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to see on a couple of these cases that were in the news for so long, and we still, you know, I still think people even have questions about some of, like, Judge Roy Moore. I thought the women were not being honest. What did you think?
I can't quote any of those. That's been a while, and I don't remember exactly what I posted on my website. But there was some deception on both sides.
Interesting. Okay.
With his answers as well as theirs. Yes.
Okay. So I'll look at that, because I just remember thinking, well, it's suddenly they disappear after the cameras are gone, and so to me, that's always kind of an indicator that they were served as a purpose in taking somebody down, but. I don't know that for sure. And so we're going to come back more with Mark McClish when we come back, and we'll take your calls as well, 888-673-1450 on the show. And the website is statementanalysis.com. I know you're lying. You know, there's some great stuff in here, because I think it's stuff that we don't really think about, Mark. You know, what words do people use? And the word never, I don't think I would have thought of that. I don't think I would have thought of that word. And so when somebody is vehemently denying something, you know, what are you really looking for in that denial? We'll be right back with more with Mark McClish when we come back, and really how to find somebody that's being deceptive, how to identify when somebody's being deceptive. Be right back.
Subaru Outback is built to take you places you've never been. Maybe it's time to test drive, because right now at Findlay Subaru, get 0% financing on all new 2019 Outback models through January 31st. Come drive Ascent, Subaru's biggest SUV ever, with seating for up to 8. Or drive the all-new 2019 Forester with more horsepower and interior space. Whatever Subaru fits your wants, you'll find it at Findlay Subaru, on the saving side of the freeway, because we believe in you. Financing with approved credit with Subaru Motors Finance.
This is Kate Daly. I love my sponsors. Boulevard Mattress, located at Boulevard Home Furnishings. Get an incredible mattress at a low, low price. St. George Ink and Toner. If you want to save money on ink for your printers, see St. George Ink and Toner at 42 South River Road. And St. George Massage. StGeorgeMassage.com to schedule today. No messy memberships, just an incredible massage. You deserve it, and it makes a great gift for someone you love.
I'm John Gibson. This is My Word. The last words of famous people as they passed away. Have you heard these? Steve Jobs famously said, "Wow, oh wow." Winston Churchill said, "I'm bored with it all." Humphrey Bogart, I never should have switched from scotch to martinis. Louis XIV, France's Sun King, the one who built Versailles, said, why do you weep? Did you think I was immortal? Yeah, they might have. Playwright Eugene O'Neill said, I knew it, damn it, born in a hotel and I'll die in a hotel. Beethoven said, applaud, friends, the comedy is over. Explorer Kit Carson said, I wish I had time for one more bowl of chili. Playwright Oscar Wilde said, either that wallpaper goes or I do. Karl Marx, the father of communism, said, last words are for fools who haven't said enough. Ed Gwynn, who played Kris Kringle in The Miracle on 34th Street, said, it's tough, but not as tough as playing comedy. The famous stage actor John Barrymore said, die? I should say not. No Barrymore would allow such a conventional thing to happen to him. And Queen Elizabeth I said, all my possessions for a moment of time. Famous last words, true stories. I'm John Gibson. That's my word. John Gibson, digging up history. The saint returned to the land where he had been enslaved and ended the savage practice of kidnapping children into slavery. We celebrate his day every year. That story after this. Bags under your eyes, lines around your eyes, try Instantly Ageless from Juness. It works in 2 minutes to make you look younger. This breakthrough skincare product helps those bags and lines disappear. Instantly Ageless from Juness. Go to johngibson.com. On the right, a square marked Juness. Click there. Find Instantly Ageless. 30-day money-back guarantee. Get a 25% discount. johngibson.com. Look for the Juness button on the right and be Instantly Ageless. The boy was kidnapped by slave hunters and taken to a faraway island where he was enslaved and brutalized in forced labor. He escaped, walked hundreds of miles, found a ship to take him home. His parents begged him to never leave again, but he wanted to end the misery he saw in that faraway place. So he went back to end slavery and bring Christ to the savages. The boy had been kidnapped from England. He'd been taken to slavery in Ireland. And when he returned and brought Jesus to the island, the kidnapped Englishman became the patron saint of Ireland. He was, of course, the saint we celebrate with the wearing of the green, St. Patrick. I'm John Gibson, digging up history.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m. And then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say, thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. I'm so glad you are. You can go to katedalyradio.com and listen to the podcast of today's show, today's live show, and I welcome you. You can also get it on iTunes, SoundCloud, all over the place, actually. TalkStream and Red State Talk Radio, Love and Liberty, the app, all over the place. I welcome Mark McKish with me. He is with me today and the author of several books on lying. I Know You Are Lying and Don't Be Deceived. He served as a U.S. Marshal, also federal law enforcement officer, 26 years, and he was involved in training how to catch somebody that's being deceptive. And so we'll take your calls. I'm sure you have some calls for him. There's just a couple of things I want to ask you about. How when you noticed the group, when you told them to lie, and you were kind of analyzing how they would lie so that you could study this, were the lies spectacular, or were they just veering off the beaten path a little? What did you notice about the uniformity? Because you said most of they lie, or we lie in general, in the same ways.
Yeah, most of the time they would just veer off the path a little bit. Not too many spectacular lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be a good liar, you need to keep it to a minimum.
Right.
You know, the more you talk, the easier it is to turn for persons being deceptive. So most of the time it would just be more subtle things. Like with Tanya Harding, when, mm-hmm. you know, the Nancy Kerrigan incident years ago, when she was asked about that, she said, "I don't know for sure anything about what's going on at all."
Well, that's an interesting statement.
The key word she uses, "I don't know for sure." She didn't say, "I don't know what's going on." She said, "I don't know for sure," which tells you, you know, she knows something. She doesn't mm-hmm. have all the details. And any good reporter would ask her, "Well, what aren't you sure of?" Or,
yeah.
And 2 weeks later, she did come out with additional information. So that's what you'll find. Most of the time, people won't tell spectacular lies.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just, you know, lying by omission is the biggest form of lying, meaning they just withhold information. They don't tell you everything that happened that transpired. Or mm-hmm. they will qualify their statement using certain words or phrases. Or they'll skip over something.
Ooh, okay. And you know, we've seen cases on the news where a child is missing and the parent is on camera and they're not showing very much emotion. Is that a tell for you, or what does that mean to you? Because a lot of people will go after the parent and say they weren't even feeling emotion, they did it. What would your statement be to that?
Well, that is a good point to make. Now, you know, everybody has different emotions, responds differently, but mm-hmm. we do expect, you know, parents, in the case of losing a child disappeared, to be somewhat upset. They don't have to be bawling their eyes out, obviously, but we expect them to be a little bit upset, maybe some tears there, choking mm-hmm. up a little bit. You know, as time goes by, there's more of an acceptance there, and they won't be quite as traumatized or... So, yeah, we are looking to see is there some emotion there, but we're also listening to, you know, what are they telling us there?
Right. What about somebody looking right in your eyes as they're telling you something? What are you looking for when they're doing that?
Well, in our society, we do maintain eye contact. So if a person is constantly answering questions, looking down at the ground, that's a pretty strong indication that I'm being very forthright. Mm-hmm. So we expect them to maintain eye contact, but some deceptive people will overdo it. They'll just stare you down
mm-hmm.
because they think, you know, you're going to believe my story now because I'm looking at you, I'm facing you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's somewhat obvious if a person constantly stares at you. I mean, the normal reaction is to look a person in the eyes, answer questions, and maybe look away a little bit, break eye contact, and then resume it again. So we're looking for that normal pattern of behavior, maintaining eye contact.
Not something that they're sitting thinking about. If they
right.
were thinking about
yeah.
making sure that they looked you in the eye, they're probably hiding something. I would imagine, yeah. All right, caller, you're on the line with author Mark McKish. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mark, when did they start using sodium pentothal?
Sodium pentothal, okay. All right. Oh, is that like truth?
that's a truth serum.
Yeah.
That I don't have the answer to. It mm-hmm. seems like it's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Does it work?
But it can work on some people. I mean, if you get them to relax and they're a little bit under, mm-hmm. not quite under, obviously, then they may start answering questions because they don't have their guard up.
Right.
I can't tell them this. And so that's the whole idea behind that, to get them to relax and be under this influence of this drug for a little bit and then start mm-hmm. asking them questions.
Okay. And what about shifting? Shifting in their seat while they're telling you something. What kind of body language is their body actually doing that you're looking at? Folded arms or shifting or anything with their hands like you were talking about earlier? Any other body language signals?
Yeah, when people knowingly tell a lie, it causes stress. And that stress causes changes to the body. Now, subtle changes can be detected with a polygraph. They perspire a little bit more, breathe a little bit heavier.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, that stress manifests in a form of a body movement. And so they may be, as you mentioned, get fidgety. So it's an indication, again, they're under some stress. Why, you know, and why is that? Why is this question stressful? Or if they cross their arms, it's an indication they're closed off. So once they cross their arms, maybe even lean back in their chair, trying to get away from you, from that point on, they may not be very forthright, you know, throughout that interview.
Okay, good point. 888-673-1450 is the call-in number. As far as the looking at cases, too, I remember the Michael Jackson. A lot of people were on either side of the fence on he was accused of sexual allegations on whether he did it or not. What was your take on Michael Jackson?
I don't remember the specific interviews he did. I mean, I know there's analysis on my website, but he did show some signs of deception when it came to denying if he had, you know, inappropriate relations with these young boys.
Right. Okay. And then do you remember Susan Smith? She drowned her boys. That was a huge case because she was crying in the cameras and she was saying that, she didn't do it. I don't remember the words that she used. But even in that case, did you feel from the beginning that she had? Did you feel from the beginning on some of these?
From the beginning, I was open-minded. It was hard to tell. Her story sounded, somewhat believable. But then again, the more she talked, and at one point she finally gave a press conference where she said,
I would like to say whoever has my children,
please,
I mean, bring them home to us where they belong.
Right. And now, remember, she said it was a male subject that drove away with her two kids. So if that's the last vision you had, that's what you would talk about. Him, that man, he needs to release him. And she comes out and says, whoever, like she has no idea.
And then
she used the plural pronoun they, right. And that, again, to me, that was the biggest tell right there, because changing pronouns in a case deception, in this case, from a singular male to they. And as soon as she said that, I knew she had something to do with it. I didn't know if the kids were still alive or not based on her entire statement.
Oh,
and the following day, she finally confessed.
Yeah, you're right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with author Mark McGish.
Yes, thanks. How about dropping the left shoulder? What does that indicate? Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Does that mean anything to you?
Not specifically, but if it's a deviation of their normal body movements, then, we want to pick up on that. It's not a common one that you'll see, but it's definitely possible. People react in different ways, and that stress caused their body to do different things. And so, they may drop their left shoulder, or it could even be their right shoulder.
Okay. We were talking about, as I came in, I can't remember if it was this time or the last break, but I was talking about this will be great fodder for watching politicians, and politicians kind of, they're kind of known for skirting the answer, if you will. When you're sitting back, Mark, just personally, you're watching some of these speeches or some of the things going on. Are you noticing a plethora of many, many times that you see somebody? Are they skilled in this to the tune that shocks you, or do you not notice it that much? I mean, maybe we ridicule them too much? I don't know. What's your take on politicians and answering questions?
Well, most of them do tell the truth,
really?
Especially when they're on camera. They're not going to lie to us. But what you'll find is that most of them, if they're especially like with Anthony Weiner. New York City congressman years ago.
Yes.
What they'll do is they'll be asked a question, but they won't answer that specific question.
Okay.
They'll give an answer, but they won't answer the question. And unfortunately, a lot of your journalists let them get away with that. They hear the answer and then they just move on to the next question because they have a certain agenda that they're going to do.
Right.
But that's the biggest thing you'll see with politicians. Most of them will not outright lie, but they just won't answer that specific question. They'll give you an answer, but you have to ask yourself, did they answer the specific question?
Okay. Is there ever a case that stumps you, that has stumped you, and you haven't been able to make up your mind on whether you thought they were lying or not?
Every once in a while, investigators send me statements all the time, and I may say this can go either way, but most of the time it's either clear, especially if I have both sides of the story. If I have... his statement, her statement, wherever the case may be, then that usually we can tell who's being truthful, who's being deceptive.
Right. Kind of harder with like a Scott Peterson. I thought it was pretty evident. His body language to me, everything he was saying just didn't fit right. What were your thoughts on that? He's sitting in prison right now. I remember his wife, Lacey. She was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he showed a lot of his body language showed deception.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final straw was he got on national television. He was interviewed by Diane Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Diane Sawyer, he talked about his wife, Lacey, before her body was discovered in the past tense. He said she was amazing. Then he realized what he said, so he changed it to "she is amazing," but it was already out there. And that's a big sign when it comes to missing person cases. If a person, mm-hmm. a family member, somebody who knows the missing person talks about that missing person in the past tense, they're telling us they know something we don't know. They know that missing person is dead. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cases are solved by that way, by listening to how family members talk about this missing person. So that was a big sign there for him. He slipped up.
Right. Also, you know, a lot of people out there have teenagers, and teenagers are an interesting breed. What is the best way to ask a family member a question, it's even a teenager a question, somebody in your life, to get a straight answer? Is there a way? Is there a particular way to ask a question?
Well, in some cases, you just want to ask a direct question.
Uh-huh.
Where did you go tonight? And then you have to listen to what they tell you, and they may give you a truthful answer. I went here, but they may leave out, you know, one location they went to that they know you didn't approve of, mm-hmm. and so they won't tell you that. But you have to listen to see if they are using any words that means they skipped over something. When people say, you know, later on, afterwards, that means they jumped over something. You want to back them up in their story. But the biggest thing with teenagers, or really anybody, is listen. Did they answer your specific question, mm-hmm. or did they answer your question with a question?
Okay. Or maybe did they go a little vague? Vague, right, or broad?
Lack of details, yes.
Yeah. Has anything surprised you along the way in studying people, in studying this?
Mainly, as I mentioned before, that, you know, people just, for whatever reason, just don't want to lie. I mean, now people know that their body language, if they lie, their body language may reveal the fact they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
A hardcore criminal doesn't know what you, the interviewer, knows. So if he tells a lie, he just dug his grave a little bit deeper, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so the safest way for people to play it is to not tell any lies, more so in an open statement, such as, all right, what did you do? What did mm-hmm. you see? Where'd you go? They'll give you a truthful statement and tell you a lot of things, but they'll leave out certain things. And as I mentioned, if you listen for words like, you know, later on, afterwards, the next thing I remember, that means they're skipping over something, and then you want to back them up in their story, try to find out, you know, what are they withholding from you.
So, like, prefacing it? Prefacing the statement?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll preface it, yeah.
Okay. I wondered about that. And what about the psychopaths? I'm imagining they're hard to catch, because I don't think that's a huge group of people. I think true psychopaths, maybe, you tell me, are probably a certain kind of breed of people. But easy for them to lie, harder to catch. I mean, how difficult is it? And how do you know when you have one?
Well, as you mentioned, I don't think there's very many of them out there. I don't know what the numbers would be. They do mm-hmm. exist, but we don't come across them too often. I would say easy for them to lie, because they just typically will lie about everything. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times their lies will be, in some cases, just so grandiose that you can realize, you know, you're lying to me. It's just hard for me to believe what you're telling me, because it's just so spectacular.
Mm.
And so that's sometimes how we can catch them. But still, their words will betray them. And this is why the techniques work, because there are several ways you can phrase a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And people will always word their statement based on all their knowledge, which means their statement may contain information they did not intend to share. And so the key is to listen to what people are telling you and see how they phrase their statement. And sometimes you can gain additional information or determine if they're being truthful or deceptive.
Interesting. Well, Mark McClish, it's been eye-opening. Thank you. The books are I Know You're Lying, Don't Be Deceived. You can actually go to statementanalysis.com to get more information on this. He went through a lot of other cases too, you know, Simpson case, you name it, is on there, where he dissects and tells you exactly what he thinks and how they were lying, which is really, I thought that was rather eye-opening because of the different statements that you dissect. So I thought it was great information. You can either get further training from Mark. So, Mark, thank you for joining me. It was eye-opening.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
You bet. Statementanalysis.com and the books, I Know You Are Lying and Don't Be Deceived. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow with Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional attorney, and a lot of stuff tomorrow, so don't miss tomorrow's show either. And everybody have a great night. Be faithful, be fearless. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Would you like to help out in your community? Do you want to serve those in need but don't know where to go or where to look? Now it's easy. Go to justserve.org, a free website dedicated to helping those who want to serve find opportunities in their area. JustServe has teamed up with faith, government, and nonprofit organizations nationwide to post needs and opportunities to serve. Go to justserve.org and type in your city, and you'll see a list of upcoming service opportunities near you. Each one gives you all the information you need, like when and where the event takes place, as well as who to contact to volunteer. You can even sign up on JustServe to receive emails letting you know about new projects around you. JustServe is a fast, free, and easy way for you to find ways to serve. You can make a difference, and JustServe is here to help. JustServe.org is provided as a service by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4 Leeds.